This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham, sitting in for Cynthia Canty. Last month, the Center for Michigan, a nonpartisan, nonprofit think tank, released its major report on K-12 public education in our state. It was the largest effort ever to collect and analyze what the public thinks about Michigan schools and teachers. As we've heard here on Stateside, that report was based on hundreds of meetings with people all over the state, and emerging from those discussions was a clear theme. The best way to improve Michigan schools is to improve the skills of the person standing at the front of the classroom. Two-thirds of Michiganders say we need to hold teachers more accountable. 4 out of 5 say they want teachers to be better prepared for the classroom. Stateside's Cynthia Canty spoke with a high school principal, an education expert, and a professor of teacher education to make sense of all these statistics.
So we wanted to explore the questions. How do we teach teachers to do their jobs better? And how do we effectively evaluate our teachers? Joining our program is Jennifer Hammond. She's the principal of Grand Blanc High School, and she sits on the Michigan Council for Educator Effectiveness. Jennifer, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you, Cynthia.
Good to have you with us. Also joining us from the Brookings Institution is education expert Russ Whitehurst. Thank you, Russ, for joining our discussion.
I'm pleased to be with you.
And from Michigan State University, we have a professor of teacher education, Corey Drake. Welcome to the program, Corey.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Jennifer Hammond, I'd like to start with you, if I may. The Center for Michigan Report certainly finds that teaching teachers to do a better job and then also a better way to evaluate them, those seem to be overwhelming must-dos for people in Michigan. How is that message being received in the classrooms at your school?
2 years ago, the state of Michigan required each educator, principals, and teachers to be rated on a 4-point scale, highly effective to ineffective. And so with that new policy, it certainly has brought more awareness. And I've seen as a principal an enhanced instruction just based on that small change.
Russ Whitehurst, among the many articles that you've written at the Brookings Institution, you pointed to a study by the New Teacher Project, and it looked at thousands of teachers and administrators in 12 districts over 4 states. And it was noted that all failed to, quote, differentiate meaningfully among levels of teacher effectiveness. So it seems of the thousands of teachers, it seems upwards of 90% got top ratings. It makes me wonder, is it even possible for any group to evaluate itself fairly?
Well, I think left to our own resources, none of us would be would subject ourselves to an evaluation system.
Exactly.
But I think we're getting to the point where certainly policymakers and the general public have come to understand that teachers differ just like professionals elsewhere differ in their performance. And it's important to capture that. And when districts are giving everybody an A grade, they're missing the opportunity to do their jobs and to improve the teaching profession.
And what do you think works best in what you have seen as far as successful evaluation of teachers?
Well, I can tell you some things that aren't working well, and that's to leave to every district, big and small, the responsibility for building a successful evaluation system. This is technical work. It's psychometrically complicated, and it's just too difficult to expect every district to do that. When we see the best systems, we see meaningful classroom observation systems, because most teachers are going to be subject primarily to that, to somebody coming into class and observing what they're doing. And so rather than just having some simple checklist, the better efforts are doing this in a sophisticated way, and they're checking on how well the system works, and they're using it and using multiple observations to make judgments about teachers. And they're using it as an opportunity to help teachers grow, to make the evaluation not just a score that a teacher gets, but an opportunity for that teacher to take a look at her practice and try to improve it.
So it's effective. It's not one where virtually everybody gets an A.
Absolutely.
Jennifer, you've begun working with the Michigan Council for Educator Effectiveness. You started at the end of 2011. And among its many goals, the council is tasked with coming up with a state evaluation tool for teachers and then presenting it to the Board of Education, the legislature, and the governor. What would you consider a good, effective system to evaluate a teacher? And are there any districts in Michigan that you would think are doing a good job of that?
Well, I think Russ hits on quite a few of the points that the council has found as well, that any good system is about growing or enhancing instruction. And certainly, and I think the other piece that Russ mentioned is local districts on their own, that is a lot to ask. It is labor intensive, and there is a lot of statistics associated with developing a meaningful system. There are certainly districts in the state of Michigan that are doing things very well, but they're not doing things the same. So if you are in one district and you rate a teacher as highly effective, that would look different in another district. And the purpose of the council was to create a system, or is to create a system, that is somewhat more familiar to everyone, using the same language, the same type of observation protocol, so that whether you're in Grand Blanc or you're in Farmington, there is a similar expectation when you rate a teacher as highly effective or effective.
Now, I want to bring another theme into our conversation and turn to Professor Corey Drake of Michigan State. The Center for Michigan Study found that 4 out of 5 people in Michigan want teachers to be better prepared when they step up to the head of that classroom. What do the schools training teachers need to do better than perhaps they have been, Corey?
Well, I think it's a constantly shifting landscape, and I think a lot of the perception of teachers needing to be better prepared comes from the changes that are happening in the educational system. Teachers are being asked to respond to new standards with the Common Core, new assessments, new curricula, increased diversity. And so it makes sense that the public would be asking for teachers to be better prepared for that. This is a conversation that's ongoing at Michigan State, and I know at other colleges of education, in terms of what can we do in a very limited period of time to make sure that all of our graduates are ready to start on day one, ready to teach, but also ready to continue learning as they teach, continue adapting to the constantly changing landscape. So we've been working hard to identify those key practices that teachers need to have on day one, and then those that they can continue to develop as they continue teaching. And perhaps even, I think, in the most optimistic world, these evaluation systems might help with that ongoing learning process.
If you're just joining us, this is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty, and we are exploring the questions of evaluating our teachers and basically teaching our teachers to do their jobs better. And we're talking with Jennifer Hammond, who's the principal of Grand Blanc High School, and also she's on the Michigan Council for Educator Effectiveness. We have from Michigan State University, Professor of Teacher Education, Corey Drake, and from the Brookings Institution, education expert, Russ Whitehurst. Russ, the whole conversation that we're having, not just in Michigan, but nationally, about improving our schools and focusing on teacher evaluation. When has this become something that went onto the national front burner?
It's certainly been within the last 15 years, and the action has really started within the last 4 or 5 years. Everybody has the intuition that they're good teachers and bad teachers. When I give talks, I ask people to raise their hand if they can remember a great teacher in their life, and almost everybody does. And then I ask them if they can raise their hand if they can remember a terrible teacher in their life. And again, almost every hand goes up. And so that intuition is there, but we've only been able to measure it relatively recently. It really has to do with the advent of testing in grades 3 through 8, which gave the opportunity to see student gains. And on top of that, we have these observational systems. So really the last 5 years is when some states, a few districts have started getting into this seriously, and the snowball is now heading downhill.
I'm interested, actually, in getting the view of all of you. As we talk about evaluating teachers, it raises the question, what needs to happen when a teacher is evaluated as not effective? Jennifer, I'll start with you since you're a principal.
Well, if a teacher is not effective, the point of an evaluation system, or the purpose, should be to help support that teacher.
So not punitive.
Maybe it's not punitive, right. And so maybe a teacher is having difficulty with classroom management techniques. So that's part of the evaluation system. And then you as an evaluator or principal in the classroom can have some very specific conversations with that teacher and support them, whether that's professional development, whether that is mentoring, whatever that would be, to help that teacher improve in that area. So it's about supporting teachers, not about punishing or firing teachers.
Why would teaching be the only profession in America where a consistently bad performer is not let go? I certainly agree that, the first step with any evaluation system is to try to improve the performance of the employee who's not doing a good job. But to tenure a teacher who is not doing well, make a lifetime commitment, to make $1.5 million financial commitment to somebody who's not doing well, when you have the option to replace that person doesn't seem to me to be well-grounded in the needs of the students that are supposed to be served by the school system.
I would agree with that. I think, you know, but I think as we're talking about first steps of what happens when a teacher is identified as not effective, we have not had systems in place that really could marshal the resources to support that teacher, and then down the road say we've really given them a fair chance to become an effective teacher. Absolutely, I think after the supports and the resources have been tried, there may be some people, I'm sure there are some people who should not continue in the classroom, but I think it's typically been a sink or swim profession, and so my hope is that we use these evaluations to build a system of support so that we truly identify those who are not effective teachers and distinguish those from teachers who could do a great job with a little bit more support.
And also, as part of the legislation in Michigan, if a teacher performs at the lowest level after, I believe it's 3 years, then they must be terminated. So that is in the new Michigan law.
So that it's coming along. The law is listening to concerns. It does make me wonder, to get the thoughts of all of you on just what you think it takes to make a good teacher. And because it strikes me that being an effective and a good teacher, it's more than just what they know. It's more than the knowledge base. There's the heart part of teaching, the heart. And is it even possible to quantify and evaluate that?
You know, I think one of the things we've learned in the last 15 years is that the best predictor of future teacher performance in the classroom is past teacher performance in the classroom. And that we don't yet know a lot about how to make a good teacher or how to take an ineffective teacher and make that teacher a lot better. And it's really a statement on our ignorance about the skills that are needed for the job, but it clearly is a complicated task. It involves not just knowledge, but the ability to control a classroom, to motivate students, to be inspiring. And so we need to eventually look at all of those things. And my hope is that one of the products of the new evaluation system will be a much better sense than we have now about what the components of excellent teaching are, so that we would be in a good position for the first time to train teachers to be effective on their first day in the classroom. We're clearly not good at doing that now.
Yeah, let me ask you, Professor Corey Drake, as you work with teachers through your work at Michigan State University, and what is it, in your view, can you see when they're sitting in your classroom, who's going to make it and who really maybe should think of another line of work?
Well, again, I think this is very parallel. It's a great question, and it's very parallel to what is happening in the K-12 system, where we've had some intuitive or instinctive sense as we watch our prospective teachers grow and we watch them practice teaching in the classroom. You know, some of them you can always look at and say, wow, she's going to be a great teacher or he's going to be a fabulous teacher. And others you wonder more about. And so I think we have been working hard at getting better at developing assessments in a very similar way that help us document that, think about what evidence we can see when we know a teacher is going to be great versus those who, again, need this extra support. And I think an important shift has been one you alluded to, from measuring what it is that people know, because that's an important part of teaching, but what we're really interested in is what they can do when mm-hmm. they're in a classroom and what kinds of practices they enact and how they interact with all of their students. And so we've moved a great deal from assessments of knowledge and beliefs, which are important, to really focusing before they leave our program on assessments of practice. What is it that they actually are doing when they're in a classroom? And does that give us confidence that from day one they'll be able to support the learning of all of their students?
Jennifer Hammond, you're right there on the front line interacting with teachers and interacting with parents and interacting with students. What do parents not understand about the daily job of the teacher?
Well, I think being a teacher it's artful in its truest sense. And I think you hit on it earlier about the heart of teaching. You can know your content very well, but you also have to love what you do and love working with young people. You make thousands of decisions in an hour. You are managing behavior and academics at all times. And the pressures and accountability are certainly higher stakes now. And so I think that's what those who are not in the classroom on a regular basis may not realize, that it is very difficult work. And those who do it well, they always make it look so easy and so natural. And so I think this whole idea of evaluation stems from those that make it look so easy and are so good at. There must be a way to capture that so that everyone else can do the same thing. But it is an art form.
Yeah, that's a good point. If Russ Whitehurst, if we're all having this conversation in 5 years based on what you're seeing nationally, certainly what we've heard in this report from the Center for Michigan, what do you think we'll be talking about in terms of evaluating our teachers?
We'll be using more information from students about the evaluation of their teachers. That's currently not on the table at all in K-12, whereas it's routinely used in post-secondary. And we now know for the first time that students are actually pretty good judges of teachers and how they are in the classroom and how inspiring they are and how well they teach. So we'll be using more of that. We'll have standardized instruments that will be off the shelf and easier to use rather than everybody collecting their own. And I think we'll have tied colleges of education into schools in a way that colleges are going to be judged on how well they're preparing teachers for the classroom. That link is presently absent.
And let me just then segue right over to Corey Drake, Michigan State professor. Your thoughts on where we'll be in 5 years and what we'll be talking about, especially in the way you're training teachers.
Well, I agree with Russ in all the directions that we are heading. I think his last point about connecting the preparation of teachers to the ultimate achievement of their K-12 students, I think is definitely a direction we're heading. And so what I'd like to see happen along with that, and I think these teacher evaluation systems might help us do that, is a more seamless connection between the preparation of new teachers that happens in colleges of education and the ongoing support of practicing teachers that happens mostly in schools and districts. And if we can be coherent about the way we prepare and support teachers all the way along the continuum, evaluating them in uniform ways, asking them to do the same kinds of things, but at higher levels as they progress as teachers, I think we can support teachers much more effectively and therefore have more teachers being rated as effective or highly effective.
And Jennifer Hammond, based on your work as the principal as well as being on the Michigan Council for Educator Effectiveness, what do you predict will be in the five-year period?
Well, I think around our profession as educators, there's going to be certainly a clear understanding of really what's expected and what is high quality. And we haven't had that before. And so I think with that conversation and those expectations, I anticipate a much more enhanced and engaging K-12 instructional force.
You've all brought many great insights, and I know this is the first of many conversations that we will be having, and hopefully to have you back on Stateside as we continue exploring this. Michigan State University Professor of Teacher Education, Corey Drake, from the Brookings Institution Education Expert, Russ Whitehurst, and from Grand Blanc High School Principal, Jennifer Hammond. Thank you so much for joining us on Stateside.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tomorrow, Cynthia Canty talks with one of the top finalists for National Teacher of the Year on what works in the classroom. And coming up on this show, the medical marijuana debate continues in Lansing and trouble with school mascots. That's next on Stateside.